foolishness, folly. That's how the Apostle Paul describes what God did over 2,000 years ago on this, our highest of holy days, Easter. Easter foolishness. It's craziness. It's madness. Well, it's comedic, really. Have you ever thought of Easter as a comedy? Briefly, comedy is defined as a drama in which the central theme is triumph over adversity, leading to a successful conclusion. That means it's not necessarily about laughter so much as it is about things turning out differently than it looks like they ought to. So in the literary sense, Easter is comedy. It is a drama in which the central theme is triumph over adversity, which is the victory over crucifixion, over humiliation and death, leading to a successful conclusion, to resurrection and victory over death. Actually, since the early days of the church, Easter has been understood as more than a comedy. Easter has been regarded, forgive me please, as a joke, a supreme joke, the best joke in all the world, and the best and last laugh ever. But 2 millennia later, because we know the ending, there's no surprise, and so it's not as easy for us to get the joke. So let's see if we can recover a little bit of the surprise of Easter together, shall we? Yes. Let's travel back in time to a land known as Palestine in the beginning of what is now called the Common Era, also known as the time of the Roman Empire. Now, during that time, there was a gruesome but seemingly inconsequential incident of capital punishment. The Roman Empire tortured and executed a peasant with an attitude. A peasant who refused to pledge allegiance to the empire, who refused to regard Caesar as a god. And from Rome's perspective, this peasant's death was inconsequential. It was simply a routine matter of fact, just taking care of business. There are no records to speak of other than the hand-me-down stories told by the peasant's little band of followers. There is no record that in killing Jesus of Nazareth, Rome had wrestled down a mighty insurrection, because the Jesus movement wasn't mighty. It was tiny. Nor was it by any stretch of the imagination an insurrection, an uprising, an insurgency, or a rebellion. It was nothing like any of those. Jesus and his peasant followers were not armed terrorists plotting a hostile takeover of the powers that be. They weren't planning kidnappings or the assassinations of heads of states. They carried no weapons. They laid out no strategy. They had no manifesto except one: love God and one another. It was a small cog in the vast and mighty machinery of the Roman Empire, executing a peasant who had a weakness for love. But as far as Rome goes, the execution was not worth recording or reporting. So here's the joke. In fact, here's the first of two Easter jokes. The first Easter joke is on death. Death, far mightier than even the mighty Roman Empire. Death, which always got the last word and the last laugh, is made a laughingstock by Easter. Because in Jesus, life gets the last word and the last laugh. In the Easter story, death is silenced. It is rendered helpless. So that's the first joke, the joke on death. And perhaps the best way to understand the second joke is to think about what didn't happen this last Friday. What failed to occur this past Friday? Good Friday. Well, friends, on Good Friday, the vast and mighty machinery of the New York Stock Exchange failed to rally itself into business. That's right. On Good Friday, the stock market remained closed. It remained closed in deference to a Palestinian peasant, an itinerant preacher who lived more than 2,000 years ago, and among whose most memorable teachings is this: do not store up treasures here on earth where moth eats them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So the New York Stock Exchange is frozen today, suspended in time, left exactly as it was at 4 p.m. last Thursday. This extraordinary annual 3-day closure of the mighty and massive machinery of the stock market is in deference to Jesus of Nazareth. You and I can only imagine what happens in heaven each and every Good Friday. But let's imagine on the morning of Good Friday, Jesus' family and friends all gather together. Mary and Joseph and James and John and Peter and Paul, Lazarus, Martha and Mary, and Bartimaeus and Nicodemus and Zacchaeus, all of them. Imagine they're all together in heaven on the morning of Good Friday, and at 9:29 a.m. precisely, Eastern Standard Time, New York time, they grow silent. All the saints in heaven grow silent, heads cocked, ears straining to hear. They listen for that opening bell. And then when the clock reaches 9:31 a.m. and the opening bell hasn't sounded, imagine the friends and followers of Jesus and all the saints in heaven erupting into peals of uncontrollable laughter. Bent over, stomach aching, rolling in the clouds, laughter. A laughter of absolute disbelief at the power and reach of Jesus and his earthly divine teachings. In the Divine Comedy, Dante Alighieri tells of the night of Good Friday in the year 1300 of the Common Era. Now, maybe you know this work and maybe you don't. It's hard to find good translations. But in the middle of the journey of life, Dante comes to himself in a dark wood. And the straight and narrow way has been lost. He doesn't know where to go. And there he meets the spirit of Virgil, who promises to guide him on a journey to heaven. However, the journey to heaven begins in the harrowing bowels of hell. And the journey through hell is slow, gruesome, and torturous. Dante makes his way along the way, seeing sights so agonizing and ghastly that they are forever burned into his eyes. But he journeys on, up and up and up. Finally, departing hell, Dante plods onward and upward through purgatory, up, up and up, and then just as he draws near to the celestial sphere, as he draws near to paradise itself, he hears a faint and distant sound. Cocking his head and straining his ears, Dante listens, and then he smiles, nods to himself, and proclaims, "It sounds like the laughter of the universe." Eugene O'Neill, the great American playwright and winner of the Nobel Prize in Literature, wrote a play called Lazarus Laughed. The play tells the story of Lazarus after Jesus brought him back from death. As Lazarus is the first person to return from the realm of the dead, people want to hear from him, to hear his story, and they want to know, what was it like? In his post-death life, Lazarus has things to say. Among them, he tells people there is no death. But it's more than what he says that convinces people. It's what he does that convinces them. Lazarus laughs. He laughs at everything, even death. And the more Lazarus laughs, the younger and stronger he becomes. His home in Bethany is called House of Laughter. A dear friend of mine keeps telling me that if you don't take time to laugh, life will be hellish. And the book of Ecclesiastes has a lot to say about time. There is a time for everything, and a season for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, time to plant and a time to uproot, time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh. My dear friends, Easter Sunday, if it is anything, is a time to celebrate and laugh. It is time to laugh at death. It is time to laugh at the notion of empire. Because here's the thing. In the end, the joke is on them. In the end, God wins. In the end, love wins. Justice, kindness, and mercy win. In the end, no matter what happens, no matter what you're facing, in the end, God moves out from the tomb and death is dead. In the end, God's got you now and forever. Hallelujah. Happy Easter. Amen.